Hi, everybody. This is Pat O'Brien. Either your grandfather, your father, or you grew up with me doing sports for the last 30 years, plus all the entertainment and pop culture things that I did, all those red carpets for you out there. Now, we're putting all that in a podcast, The Pat O'Brien Show. Go to iTunes and find it. Go to thepatobrienshow.com. We're here. We work for you on The Pat O'Brien Show. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the program. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing the good news. Thanks for clicking through our website when you're going to Amazon. Good day, Dr. Drew.
Is that good day?
No.
Or is that good day?
Just good day.
Oh, good day, sir. How
Joe
are you?
Joe Coy. Hello, in studio.
Sir. Thank you, sir.
Excited to see Joe in here. Brandon Marshall, wide receiver, Chicago Bears, going to be calling in. I like this. I like the cut of his jib. Everyone going nuts for all the breast cancer stuff, wearing all the pink stuff. He wore some green cleats.
Mm-hmm.
For mental health awareness issues, which I like.
Oh, I love that.
I love it, too. I've said it a million times. There's somewhere between breast health safety and breast health and breast cancer and motorboat safety. Some stuff on the water.
It's still a breast reference.
It still is. It is true. Drew made a joke, everybody. I feel like I have more information on this and have heard more things about it and have made it aware of it.
Yeah.
I suspect there's two. You, Joe, you tell us what you think.
Okay.
I think there's an ever-growing population in this country that isn't interested so much in the subject. Whether it's breast cancer or you fill in the blank for whatever minority or gay marriage or whatever it is. Not so much into the subject, but very much into being seen as being on the right side of that subject.
Yeah.
Not that they don't care about gay people having the ability to get married or brown people getting a leg up, but really, or breast cancer, but come across a little more, there's a little more involvement than their actual interest. You know what I mean? They want to be seen loudly.
It's the same thing that's making electric cars cool.
Right, right. It's the same reason guys who make $7 million a year want to drive a $40,000 car. It's about, not that they don't mind the environment.
No, they like it, but they want to be cool.
But it's more of the attention.
Yeah. It's more of being seen. And, you know, the thing about breast cancer is, I don't know how this works, where the funding goes, but I feel like they're pretty well-funded organization over there versus a lot of the mental illness stuff.
Hands down, I think they raised the money that they needed.
I think that's right.
I think there's an abundance of money that they've
received. Strange
that
I hear breast references, everything
Brandon,
you guys say, which is hands
way.
Down. But I want to say one thing before we get to Brandon.
Yes.
Wait, before we get to Brandon. He did something that I think is really interesting, which is when he was fined for standing up and wearing the shoes, he matched it, the fine, with a donation to cancer-related charities.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's just a full court press. That's the double Trump as far as
you know. Who doesn't have any money is mental awareness. I'm pretty sure they haven't raised any money.
Well, thank you,
Brandon.
Yes,
because I had no idea they even had a foundation.
There you go.
Well, and as I said on stage in Seattle, you know, the lump in the booby is bad, but it doesn't get people shot in the workplace.
Yeah.
This is something that can take down people that don't have mental illness.
Yeah.
When you have cancer, it's bad for you and for your family, but it's not bad for your coworkers per se. They won't lose their life because of your cancer. Your mental illness, on occasion, takes down others. Brandon Marshall.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. When, of course, we heard about this story a week or so ago, I just jumped on it because I just thought it was great, and I love your literally your stand because it was on your feet. And I agree with all that's been going on. This whole mental health thing has been something. I don't know if it's a taboo subject, but it just seems like it's not discussed.
Well, especially African American communities too, and some of that's not taboo. It's the history of how African Americans have been treated by mental health professionals, which has been shitty. Historically,
yeah. Brandon is a slow white possession receiver.
I know that. Of course.
Be careful. Sorry, Brandon.
No, very much so taboo. You know, but the thing is, it hits on both ends of the spectrum. It doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're male or female, young or old. It affects all of us. And just listening to you guys talk, you hit it right on the head. You know, mental health, you know, it affects all of us. If it's not you or your loved one, it could be your neighbor. It could be your kid's friend. You know, during Mental Health Awareness Week, you know, we launched a campaign around lime green, the color that stands for the cause, and just to get conversations started and raise awareness. You know, our foundation, you know, I just take my hats off to those guys just having an amazing week, you know, around the color lime green, partner up with the Tide Bar, you know, selling ties that were lime green for proceeds to go to mental health. The OPI, my wife did a partnership with OPI, the nail polish company. You know, they did something instead of tailgating, they called it nailgating, you know, where women painted their fingernails lime green. And it was just awesome. And we got a lot of national coverage on it, and it helped a lot of people.
Well, speaking of national coverage, Brandon and Dr. Drew, you know, remember the whole, was it Virginia Tech massacre that took place?
Yeah.
Yep.
And whenever one of these comes up, these talking heads that come on the news and all they want to talk about is gun control and regulation and then why weren't there more counselors and how come blah, blah, blah. And I always say, what about the family? What about the family that lived with this kid? What about the family who never sought help for this kid or medication for this kid? This is the first line of defense. There's not enough counselors. And by the way, there's 300 million guns out there. It's not going
to
work.
Yes. I have to interrupt because both that guy at Virginia Tech and the kid in Aurora, Colorado, and just about and the kid in Connecticut all had psychiatrists, were seeing mental health, who couldn't fucking do their job because their rights and privileges couldn't be infringed upon. You understand?
Yeah. Yes.
You understand? Well, they knew this guy's kids were trouble.
It's not just that. We have another epidemic in that community, too, is a lot of misdiagnosis.
Yep.
And a lot of times, you know, we're not giving the people the right treatment plan.
Yes.
You know,
well, Brandon, very high-level thought
when you
there.
Look at it, there's so many people that need to be placed in DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, or mentalization therapy, because they grow up in an environment that is invalidating.
Brandon.
And
Jesus.
They don't have the help.
Wait. Does. Hold on.
No, but this is awesome. This is. Listen,
what
I want.
What do you think he's doing? Just painting his shoes green and going out and catching a touchdown? He's
listen,
into this.
But let's slow that down and break it up and dissect it a little bit. Do you or somebody you love have borderline personality?
Say that again?
Do you or someone you love have borderline?
No, I was, I had to work through it. I was in an outpatient program for 3 months.
For borderline?
In Boston at McLean Hospital fighting borderline personality disorder.
Okay, let me tell you, now Adam and I have a lot of borderlines call this show, and you can feel when you're talking to a borderline. You don't have that feeling. And so what you had was you had the trauma therapies and the dialectical behavioral therapy, and now things are better, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I'm trying to explain to people, I went from being a patient to a treater.
Right.
You know, now I'm not a doctor. I don't have my doctorate degree. You know, I'm not a social worker. But us launching our foundation, you know, we're in the treatment business. You know, we don't only want to bridge the gap between the patients and the treaters, but also the treaters and the families and the treaters and the treaters. You know, some of these people, they don't have the right information or the right education to treat some of these patients.
You're right.
So for me, you know, The thing that made my process so smooth and successful is that you know, I wasn't dual diagnosed. When you get some of these guys that are dual and ladies who are dual diagnosed, that's when you see some of the, you know, the severe cases.
And let me, I'm going to stop you, Brandon.
Because borderline personality disorder and bipolar, or borderline personality disorder, and also suffer from a substance abuse.
Which is the standard thing, which is borderline, you know, trauma and drugs goes together. And so, Brandon, I'm just slowing you down to explain, because you and I know this stuff as a, you know, sort of matter of fact, but a lot of people have never heard this before. So you were singing to the choir here, but I want to make sure everyone else understands.
Let me get back to me for a second.
Okay.
What I
Speaking
was saying.
Treatment, Brandon, don't you think Adam would benefit from a little DBT?
Please.
Come on now. Don't you think?
Yeah, I say BFD. Look, I'm in therapy. Leave me alone. Now, look, what I was saying, and I want to find out if that Virginia Tech guy was on meds and under.
I know exactly what happened.
All right, hold on. Quiet. I am saying the news never, nobody approaches it from this angle. It's always, where did he get the gun?
Yeah.
And my thing is I don't want him to get the gun either, but I feel like he's going to get the gun. So let's take a little different angle on this.
Now, Adam.
Yes.
To be fair, your wife watches a little show where that's done every night on HLN.
You?
Yes.
Yeah. You do squat on that show.
Fuck you.
Hey, please.
Fuck you.
Watch your language.
I do want to say that my brother has, you know, he's got schizophrenia.
Oh, no kidding.
And he's in Washington State Hospital. So
really?
Yeah.
It's
something that I always keep to myself, and this is the first time I'm letting it out.
How old
Thank
is he?
God for these green cleats.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's been in and out of
the
hospital.
That's exactly why we did it, to get the conversation started. Yeah. I had a guy after a recent game come up to me and just thank me.
And,
but he pulled me away from the cameras and away from everybody to tell me.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very interesting, because that's the stigma we're trying to break. We have people who are so afraid to talk about it. You know, and what happens is trickle-down effect. You know, they're afraid to talk about it, and they're also afraid to go get help.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting come up to us and reach out to us.
You want to let me tell you how my brother reaches out to get help. He gets into physical fights with authorities, like police officers.
Sure.
Because he knows he's going to get locked
too.
up.
You get the paranoia, makes him irritable and agitated.
And
they're not sophisticated in how they deal with him. They just come at him. You know?
Yeah.
But you're saying he volitionally does this to get help.
Yeah. We kind of like figured it out now. It's like when Robert gets into, you know, some type of trouble, it's because he wants to go in and get a hot meal also.
Yeah. My brother-in-law has schizophrenia too. And it's just, it's got to be, it's a full-time job controlling
it's tough.
It's a chronic
illness. By the way, the Brandon Marshall, who's on the phone with us, standout wide out from Chicago Bears, you know, to me, this is the first topic we should be talking about. I've always said you know, the president of the United States is always seen leaving church on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him leaving a therapist's office on a Thursday.
Yeah.
That would be the thing that's the message I would like to send.
Yeah.
Because we are essentially a vessel that's at sea, and our mental shape is our compass, and it will guide us. It doesn't matter how big our ship is or how powerful it is. It'll send us right into the rocks, or it'll send us out into smooth, open seas, depending on how that compass is calibrated. And it's something that we should be talking about. We rarely talk about it. And to bring up back to the Virginia Tech thing,
I have to stop you there, because my experience has been different. You know, God's totally transformed my life, you know, and that was part of my process. So, you know, when you talk about the president coming out of church every Sunday, you know, I think it goes hand in hand, you know.
Spiritual.
God uses people and things to help, you know. So
yeah, I agree, but they're
Dr.
leaving.
Gunderson and McLean Hospital. So
we need both, though.
And the statistics have shown that, you know, those who have, have faith in something other than themselves, you know, whether it's Jesus Christ or whoever, they have shown that they have successful treatment
Brandon, I don't mind him being films. I don't mind the leaving the church on Sunday,
but also leave McLean.
But I also want to leave.
Yeah.
I want to see him leave the therapist on Thursday. That's the part that's getting left out.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is a president, for instance, you run for president, you talk about your spirituality, you talk about your religion, you work God into a lot of conversations, and that's great. When has one said, I spoke to my therapist? You know, when Bill Clinton got busted, he spoke to clergy. He didn't speak to his therapist.
Well,
he didn't say it out loud.
One thing you have to commend him on is that, you know, he's creating discussion. He had a big meeting with some of the who's who in the community at the White House. So he's definitely not abandoning the issue. You know, his office is doing a great job trying to look into it.
Maybe
you guys don't think so, but
No. I'm saying as a nation, we just don't discuss it. I mean,
yes,
there has been a million guys have run for president. A handful have won. I've heard a lot of their discussions about my family, my clergy, my schooling, my teachers, my mentors. I've never heard therapists brought up.
Yeah.
And it would be someone would. By the way, their campaign advisor would shoot them in the neck with a blow dart if they brought up my therapist.
Yeah.
None of them have ever brought up therapist. And I would love to see a guy up on a public stage saying, you know, my church means a lot to me, my family means a lot to me, and my therapy means a lot to me as well.
You know, they don't even do that when they accept their Oscars either. Actors, you ever notice that? Everybody in Hollywood has a therapist.
They should thank their therapist. Yeah.
And they never think that.
All right, Brandon, people should go to the website, the BrandonMarshall.com, TheBrandonMarshall.com. What can they do to help?
Yes. Well, I mean, the number one thing is this. You know, let's continue to talk about it at the dinner table. Let's continue to talk about it in our community. However you format it, let's create that discussion. That's the number one way we can help. Let's break down the stigma. But as far as for our foundation, just reach out to us, whether it's our social networks, you know, our website, you know, donations, of course, we need resources. But at the same time, we would love to have people, you know, volunteer, you know, their sweat, you know, their wisdom. So whatever they feel in their heart, you know, they can reach out and help us, you know. So we're really working hard. You know, we funded our foundation for the next few years. So with everything that comes in, you know, it goes straight towards, you know, our cause. And that's research. That's legislation. That's also treatment. So people don't have to worry about that. My wife and I made a very generous donation to the foundation. So we're ready to rock and roll.
Brandon, how much do I have to donate to get the green cleats? That's it.
The auction of all.
He's very ones.
Well, hey, whatever you want to donate, you got them.
I'm being serious, Brandon. I want them cleats.
They were sold.
Oh, they were?
Yeah. Auctioned off.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks, Brandon. We appreciate it.
We can make it happen. Send me $5,000. You can get the cleats because my buddy actually made them, and I'll bribe him to give them back to me.
Let's do it.
$5,000, and they'll go to a great cause.
Done.
Thanks, Brandon. The great Brandon Marshall.
That was good.
All right, so the Virginia Tech shooter was prescribed Prozac, but the blood screening showed no drugs whatsoever in his blood at the time of the event. Now, hold on. Quiet, Drew. Now,
I looked into this very carefully.
I understand.
Go ahead.
Let me speak.
Yeah.
I don't care what you looked into.
Because I think it's a bigger story right there.
We'll get into it. The point is this. The news coverage did not approach this side of the story at all. The news coverage wanted to know about why this guy had access to firearms, why people didn't act faster when they heard the shooting. Why? And by the way, if you want to know how most cops act, this is how most cops act. It's never no time for backup. It's always plenty of time for backup. I mean, that shooting started and it was a good half hour before anyone went to that building. That is not shoulder roll, slide over the hood material. That is hide behind the car and wait for backup material. But anyway, just from a psychological standpoint, the news did not do a adequate job of discovery on this topic. It would never
came up. Who was he mad at? Who bullied him?
Yeah,
it's like, what?
Right.
This is mental health. This isn't psychological. This is a brain disorder.
Well, of course, seeing how everyone I know was bullied and no one has gone on a shooting spree, but again, we need a cause. Meaning this, if there's trouble in the Middle East. Here's what I'm saying. If somebody blows up an American base in the Middle East, we need to know what we did to cause them to do that.
Or if you have cancer, what did you do to create that cancer?
Or how close to the power lines was your
bullshit.
Apartment?
Yeah,
or what caused a guy to shoot something up? He was bullied. Or they hate us because we have fake titties over here. Whatever it is. again,
it's true though.
It is true. Not discussed in any of these cases, really. Yeah. It's about who bullied him and where did he get the gun.
All right. So here's what happened. He was on a hold, psychotic, in a hospital,
mm-hmm.
released on a bunch of meds, Prozac one of them, mm-hmm. was allowed to return to school, was mandated to follow up. Nobody checked.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. The school should be held accountable. Like, hey, you have a chronic severe psychiatric illness which impairs you and endangers your safety and the communities. In order to enroll at this school, we need weekly to be able to see you're taking your meds.
Right.
Or at least monthly.
Sure.
Or else you're not enrolled here.
Sure.
There's nothing. Can't infringe on those freedoms. Can't
sure.
do that. Yeah.
Well, here's what I understand. Again, I don't want to sound like Chuck Heston here. But why are we so focused on the weapon, you know, in terms of, hey, you know, there's a lot of effort. And I think some of it's good where you go, there should be a whatever waiting period. You should be registered. You should have to do this and that as far as the weapon goes. But when it comes to the medication, that's your own personal. We can't infringe upon.
Yeah.
We can't ask you. That's a weird duality,
yes.
is it not?
Yes.
My brother is 100% if he takes his meds.
He's good.
Once he's off, it's over.
Now, the weird thing about schizophrenia is they don't like to take their meds. Is he one of those guys, too?
He hates it.
But that's
and he's prescribed.
A lot.
But he just won't take it.
Mm.
And that's the other thing, too, is then you have some Yahoo Hollywood activist talking about if he only got into some of that hot yoga. And if he only, you know, he's got too many toxins. Does he ever eat fast food? He needs a flush. He needs a full cayenne pepper and wheatgrass and white vinegar flush. That would help him.
Well, if you remember, that's the fight I got into with Jon Favreau that gave me that panic attack back
right.
in Dublin. He was talking to a guy like your brother. And he goes, don't let anybody tell you you should take meds. And I was like, whoa, hold on. You are endangering. I can't allow you to say that. We got each other's face over it.
Really?
Yeah, because it really got me. It's like you are endangering somebody's life. It's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Well,
my brother without his meds, you can see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my brother-in-law is the exact same way. You know, it's weird because the people are like, well, they don't. And he does take his meds, and he's good. The only thing that's wrong with him is his hats. His hats. Guys that have mental conditions wear hats.
Yeah, my brother has a hat.
Like somebody,
he has several hats.
Somebody parked a car on it overnight and then set it down on top of his head using fishing string. You know, just set it on there. And
only people with mental disorders have a lot of fedoras
and fucked up. This guy would wear, but you know, here's what I'm saying.
My brother would wear fedoras with sweats. That's just his outfit.
I like that.
Both to the gym and church.
Both on his head, by the way.
Yeah. The sweats too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Very, very uncomfortable for when he had to stand on the subway. So, no, I swear to God, this happened to me. We took my brother-in-law for his birthday with schizophrenia. For his birthday, he wanted to go to the TGI Fridays in Canoga Park.
That's delicious there.
And I
love that place.
I do too, because... It's the one I used to drive, Maxipata. You'll love this because it involves food and being poor.
Wow. Condescending much.
No, those are his two things.
Those are my things.
And I used to live in Santa fucking Monica because I had a rent-controlled – somebody had a rent-controlled apartment, and they just sort of let me live there. And I lived there for about a year, and I had a friend – over at the Acme Theater named Katie, who was like the bar manager at the TGI Fridays in like Canoga Park. And we had a deal, which is I could get the rib plate over there for basically free. It was like kind of thing where I could go there with a buddy. We could order the thing of baby back ribs, couple of beers, all the trimmings and everything. And if I pay, she'd write me a bill for like $8 or something.
Perfect.
And it was perfect. But it was so insane because I lived in Santa Monica. So I would drive my Nissan pickup truck from Santa Monica to Canoga Park, which is that's an hour.
Let your listeners know those are the two worst freeways in the country.
In the world.
In the world.
The
405 and the 101.
The exchange from the 405 to the 101 is the most busiest exchange on the planet. It would take me an hour and a half to get there. I would.
And didn't you have a stool for your seat? You didn't have actually a bench in the back?
Oh, that was another pickup truck. But I would save, you know, $11, maybe $17. It was worth the 3 hours of my life to go get this huge discount on ribs. But he wanted to go there. So we took him there. And he had a hat, like a UCLA hat, that looked like somebody moistened it and then parked a car on it and then again like threw it onto his head, like however it landed, like if there was some
horseshoe,
sort of competition,
like horseshoe.
Yeah, like someone stood 8 feet away, like somebody played a picnic or something, hat toss, and it just would land on his head, and you could tell from outer space he had mental issues because this is the way the hat sat there. And so one day I said to my wife and his dad, like, what's up with the hat, you know? And they're like, it's his hat, you know. He's a normal looking guy. He's a nice looking guy. Yeah. It's just you can tell he's nuts because of the hat. I said, so get the guy a decent hat and put it on right. And I went home. I got about 25 baseball caps. I said, here is some hats, and here's how they sit.
You went to his house and you.
Next time I saw him, I had a Trader Joe's bag full of hats.
Nice.
I put the hat on him, and I like got it straight, and I fluffed it up a little, and it's not all mashed down, and you know the back strap wasn't burst open, you know, hanging out and everything. And I said, "This is how you look. This is what you do."
It was a hat.
What did he say?
Yeah, it was a baseball.
It was a nice hat.
Yeah.
How long did it last?
You know, he's still got him. He's still wearing them.
The right way.
Yes.
Oh,
it's a little effort from the family member.
Interesting. Interesting.
My brother's favorite outfit to take to the mall was a fedora hat, and then his sweats and kung fu shoes.
Oh, I love it.
The black
would it
shoes
have big feather
with
off the fedora.
No feather. But the black shoes with the rubber.
Yeah,
the
orange brown rubber on the bottom.
Yeah, and people would look at him and go, "Is he crazy?" And then as a kid, I'd be like, "Yes." So don't fucking say that right now.
Is he older than you? Is he?
Yeah. He's 8 years older.
Oh my God!
He was my big brother. So when I was a kid walking around the mall, he was.
Like 18?
12, man.
Oh,
12, 13.
Was that young?
I remember that like it was yesterday, man. Like, I think I was, I just remember like 5 and just seeing the cops all the time.
Yeah.
You know, coming over. And
did your parents have no idea what was going on?
No, not at all. They just thought it was drugs.
Did it start off with him screaming in the middle of the night?
Yes!
That kind of stuff?
How did you know that?
I'm married to a woman who has a brother who does.
He, in the middle of the night, and you can call my mom on this, we all remember the exact fucking thing that he said that night is, "I am a lion. Wow. I'm a lion, Mom. I'm a lion." And he was roaring, and then that was it. That was that was our life. Just seeing my son in and out of hospitals the rest of his life.
Oh my God!
My brother. I'm sorry. Right. And it just got to the point where it's hard. It's exhausting. But we're gonna go. I'm gonna take my son to go meet his brother because I want him to meet him.
It's good. What's the med that's worked for him? Clozaril, something like that.
Yeah,
Clozaril. Yeah. If they finally get it, Clozaril is amazing sometimes for these bad. But and that one they don't mind taking quite so much.
Yeah.
But much better, by the way. Your brother diving into a swimming pool, cracking his vertebra, and being confined to a wheelchair at age 16 would be a much better life for him and your entire family.
Yeah,
yes,
it's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know who I think has more of a mental disorder? My sister Rowena. Because when she talks to him, she doesn't like get in the zone and go, "Okay, I'm talking to my brother. He's got mental problems." She gets in full on arguments with him. And
oh,
I'm like,
no, people do that.
And then I have to put her on hold, like, "Ween, he's fucking crazy."
Yeah. Right.
If he says he's joining the FBI, let him join the FBI.
Right. Or at least let him
sit there and
argue with him. The FBI.
Listen, yeah, she'll sit there and go, "Oh, no, you're not, Robert. You can't join the FBI." I'm like, "Okay, now you're just as fucking crazy."
Does she, though, not to defend her, but. Does she think that's her form of therapy?
Yes.
Like
That's her baseball cap. That's her putting
the
baseball
cap on. I'm going to be the voice of reason here.
That's totally it.
Like it's going to make
a
difference.
She really thinks that she's going to change my brother.
Well, but also people.
And we know that it's going to happen. Every time he calls or we have to see him, it's going to be my sister Rowena and my brother Robert that are going to go at it. It's going to be some type of.
Interesting.
And we tell her every time, "Ween, what are you doing?"
Right.
He's in a hospital.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did you get him? He's in a chronic hospital, like a state hospital.
Yeah.
They don't have those anymore.
He's in Western State Hospital.
How did they? Yeah. I have so many patients that need that in California. You can't get that.
Yeah, it's not in Washington. I think it's on the verge of closing that down too. Yeah.
What would he do? He'd be on the street, right?
Yeah, he was just he just got admitted again. He just happened. I got a phone call. Like, Robert Got into a fight with a cop again. Mm. He's trying to get.
Is he on the street otherwise?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Or they put him in the group home?
The halfway houses.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I hate to say it, but the government is not good at providing things for people.
They used to be.
They used to, one time. They used to be better. They're honing their skills at collecting money. That they keep improving upon.
Yeah.
The what comes in is doing pretty good. What goes out is where they're having problems. And unfortunately, it's back to is I hate to sound like Pa Engel, who's on Little House in the Prairie, but the point is. Family, church, community. Like, you know, I'm an atheist. But what I'm saying is my brother-in-law is schizophrenic. He's got problems. But he's not on the street because he has a brother who has, like, an apartment, you know, home over the garage that he lets him, that he stays at. And he's looked after by his brother,
his family. Yeah.
His family's always, you know, made the sacrifices. They're not rich by any means, but they've made sure that he finds his way to UCLA to get his treatment.
But the reality is, though, the certain conditions, like Joe's, you couldn't do it on your own. You need institutional support. And that's the reality. Like, some people need institutional stuff around
them. Yes, some do.
Yeah.
And also, though, Joe says if his brother's on his meds, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
takes institutions to get him to take the meds, though, I bet.
Huh?
Takes institutions to get him to take the meds. Though,
yeah, for sure.
Well, sometimes, but then there's a lot of. Well, here's what I'm saying. Thank you for shitting on my point. Point is this:
you're shitting on Joe.
I'm not shitting on him. I'm saying that a lot of the people that are on the street, a percentage of them, and maybe a large percentage of them, could be helped by an intact community.
Yes,
which is now. It's frayed. People are heading different directions. You don't live in the same state as your brother, right?
No.
They're shitting on you again. You see
how
he's
blaming
you.
Shut up, Drew. What I'm saying is it's not the little communities that we used to have that would jump in.
You know what, though? The federal government is doing such a shitty job of everything. Maybe we will start to tighten up our communities. I mean, I feel like cities and the local governments are really what do things for me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I think maybe we will sort of build locally.
I got to also say that the reason why it's harder for us is because not only is he physical with other people, he was very physical with us also.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He was a danger.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he cracked my dad's ribs right open.
When is...
My mom a black eye. sister, he choked my sister, pulled her down the stairs. And I kind of agreed with him. you should have just let him talk.
We did that for you.
Drew, how does this stuff, it usually comes on in the later teens.
Yeah, 18 to 25.
When does it ever back off? Does it ever start,
Some stuff.
Yeah, there's certain things.
Well, some things burn out. Some things like they have a trajectory where they get less functional but less labile and agitated stuff.
Right. I mean, like there's a lot of guys committing crimes that are 19 and 20, not a lot of guys committing crimes in their 60s.
Right. There's a trajectory to a lot of these things. That's right. But some of them deteriorate into less ability to function, less connected to reality, less more paranoid.
Yeah. But it's something we talked about on Loveline 15 years ago easily, which is why not more of an emphasis as a society on this topic.
So you're not even a football player wearing green shoes. You know what I mean? It's like it's happening, but it's happening slowly. And it's not happening at the government level.
And also, I believe, and again, somehow breast cancer and bullying is something, and the environment is something that everyone can feel good about and pat themselves on the back about. This one feels a little bit murky and a little scary to a lot of people. And you have to there's not a clear person to point a finger at, meaning a bully or a guy who sells guns.
And also these conditions affect the self. They affect the mind. They affect our judgment. They affect our freedom. And people in this country have real trouble with that. The interesting thing is October. Brad Williams was talking about this. I went and saw his comedy that night. Apparently October is dwarf or like Little People Awareness Month, too.
Okay.
But it's not as a campaign, but so they won't be stepped on.
Well, it's just to be careful during Halloween.
Yeah. Don't walk around and step
October,
on a door.
October, prostate cancer.
Be aware of them when you're leaving your house. You could kick one across the street.
Not all of them are kids.
Do you know
that's
that,
right.
Do you know he's been hit three times by car?
Some are full adults.
Three times. Pedestrian versus vehicle. Brad.
Brad has.
Three times.
Wow.
Backed into.
That's what I'm saying. Well, no, it's true. If you ever have that thing, it drives you nuts. But I don't drive an SUV, but if you ever like rent an SUV, they'll have the Denali. The rear window, the bottom of the rear window will stop at, 52 inches off the ground. The fucking parking pole is 37 inches off the ground and cemented into the ground, and you're backing up. And there's no possible way.
Yeah.
There should be a law, by the way, that parking pole needs, the one that's protecting the gas line or whatever, that thing needs to be higher than the bottom of an average SUV's window, because you're just not going to see it. It's the size of one of those parking posts that you don't see when you're backing out.
I'm sure he'll be delighted to hear that comparison. But so it's little people, prostate, breast cancer, and mental health all October.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of, why October? Why the big?
I don't know.
By the way, this has nothing. If you see a dwarf, don't. I know in your head you think you can pick one up. They are regular adult.
Right.
Weight.
Yeah.
Okay? It's an illusion. They look like kids.
No, I've seen
and you can carry it on top of your shoulders? No.
Yeah.
Brad is 240 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's all in his ass.
He's a run stopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's it's all forehead and ass with Brad. A lot of weight there.
That's how it balances out though. That's
but it's not where you want it. It's hard to pick up. He's unwieldy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I tried to toss him.
No.
I just pushed him over.
The Joe Coy, by the way, we should mention, is going to be at the Brea Improv. That is tonight, the 24th, through Saturday, 26th. Treasure Island, Las Vegas, baby.
That's where you and I are going to be.
November 1st. Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah.
Ah, LegalZoom, baby. We'll take a couple of phone calls. Let's give a little love to
people are complaining
our fine
we
sponsors.
Don't take enough phone calls. And I don't know whether to I don't know what to make of that.
Well, here's the thing, Drew. You have to understand. If you get four tweets that says take more phone calls and you have hundreds of thousands of people listening, that's not people are saying, you have to understand. And I do listen. We get tweets that say Joe Coy is awesome.
Yeah.
And I believe them.
Yeah.
But if you have four people say take more phone calls versus 100,000 people that don't say anything, then maybe that's not the majority
all right.
Of people.
All right.
But I agree, we should. So shut up and let me finish this.
Yeah, LegalZoom.
LegalZoom. I said I was taking a phone call. Could just let me finish. LegalZoom. You got a business? You want to start a business? You're going to start a business? You must start a business. Start with a medium-sized one. Forget small business. There's enough of them. You don't want to compete against them. I want to compete against the medium-sized guys. It's like fighting in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of champions, not a lot of heavy-handed guys in that division. Mm-mm. Don't go heavyweight, you'll deal with the Klitschkos. Don't go lighter weight, you have to fight, I don't know, Roy Jones. I don't know what year it is. But the point is hit that cruiserweight. Go with the medium-sized business. LegalZoom, they've helped over 1 million businesses get started that can help you launch your dream. LegalZoom's going to save you time, it's going to save you hundreds of dollars. Go to LegalZoom.com today and see what's right for you. Dawson.
Foreman LLC.
Oh.
No, it's me.
Oh, Drew.
Form an LLC, get a DBA, incorporate, or form a nonprofit, all starting just $99. Plus, you'll save even more when you use the word, you enter the word Drew, D-R-E-W, in the referral box at checkout. Help ensure your business and assets are legally protected at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney, but they are not a law firm.
All right, let's go to the top here. Take some phone calls. Andrew?
Hey, Ace Man, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
Huge fan. Been listening to you guys for years. I wanted to get your take on this chicken shit ticket store in L.A., and I think Drew can relate, too, because he lives in Pasadena,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was dating this girl who lives in Pasadena, and I was driving over there for the first time, and I'm always stressed about parking anywhere when I go anywhere. I always think about that.
Yes.
So I get to her house, and it's just this residential area, and I park, and there's a few other cars on the street, and my head's on a swivel anytime I park anywhere, like am I blocking the driveway? Is there a sign? Is the curb a different color? So
Hold on a second. This thing, Drew.
Mm.
You want to talk about therapy?
Yeah. This thing?
This thing. This the toll that it takes, not the actual toll that it takes, but the mental toll that it takes.
Stress, the biological stress.
Yeah, like I've had this thing. We all, you know, I get my hair cut at the $10 barber on Ventura Boulevard. I put in, you know, 30 minutes into the parking meter because my haircut takes 18 minutes. But I sit down in there and there's a person in front of me and then there's another guy and I'm kind of looking at my phone and I'm doing the math. And now I get into the chair and I have 16 minutes and I'm sitting there and I'm sort of debating, should I get up with the fucking Zorro gown on and walk out to the street and put in another quarter? Can I make it? Is it closed? I was at the therapist last week and I had left my wallet. I was on the road for 3 days. I put my wallet in my backpack instead of leaving it where I usually leave it, which is in the arm of my car. So I left it in my backpack, and I took off to the therapist Monday morning.
Yeah.
And I realized I got there, I had no money for parking. So now I had to park somewhere around Wilshire Boulevard. I found myself reading all the signs.
Yes. They're hard to interpret.
Permit parking. Yeah. Oh, especially with my condition.
Yeah.
Permit parking, you know, street cleaning coming on. I have to go back and reprocess that. Like, I'm verbal. Like, I need to close my eyes and hire an Asian guy to read it to me. And I just close my eyes and go, okay, I'm absorbing this information because I can't. Now I've figured out, fuck it, I'll find a parking meter. I go find a parking meter. I put in, you know, therapy sessions, 50 minutes. It only goes to an hour. So I just put in an hour, run across the street. The therapist is running a little bit late.
Oh.
She's like 4 or 5 minutes late.
Oh.
But we go sit down in her office and she goes, yeah, sorry, I'm running a little bit late. We'll go a little bit over, you know, make it up. And I'm like, oh.
You can't.
I start getting anxiety. Like, I got to get across the street. I got to get across the street. Now I'm doing this weird math where I'm backing out the time. So you have a 50-minute session. You got to figure 2 minutes for crossing the street and the elevator ride. Then I sat in our office for, we sat in the waiting room for like 3 or 4 minutes. We got to back that out of that. And now we get to the end. And we're on just therapist golden time where she's like going, hey, don't worry, I'll give you a couple. And I'm like, yeah, can we move this along? Yeah, I'm not fans of my family. I gotta get going now. So I found myself actually like looking through the window, seeing if I could see my car like out on the street. And because now, if this was the gas company coming by your house between noon and 5 o'clock, 6 Wednesdays from now, I wouldn't think about it. But these are the only guys in the fucking city that do their job. And who are on it.
And very well
on it. Like, if you're in Wilshire, you're off of Wilshire Boulevard, and you're parked in one of those streets, and your meter expires, you probably have an average of 3 minutes, 21 seconds. That's average.
Yeah.
It could be 80 seconds. It could be 5 minutes. But it's about 3 minutes that you have grace period.
That's right.
And I found myself running. Sweating out of the therapist's office, like trying to run across Wilshire Boulevard, like when cars were coming and stuff, like looking at the car. Just the general anxiety that it creates.
Again, good at collecting the money. But
we have a sign on Sunset in front of the Laugh Factory, and every time someone parks there, I know they're going to get towed.
Oh.
Because it says, no parking Sunday, 12 a.m. to blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
So when you see it and you park there on a Saturday night, you're like, oh, it's not till Sunday.
Oh.
Right.
So they're tricky. Just say Saturday. No one refers to midnight as Sunday. It's Saturday night. So people are going out, and it's right there. That's $300. They tow you right away. Right when it hits midnight.
I get the biggest chicken shit parking ticket of all time. And I know this guy, Andrew's complaining about Pasadena, but South Pasadena, nobody trumps them. Get this. I'm on a hill.
Wheels not turned.
Wheels turned, not backed against the curb.
Not backed against the curb?
I have to back the wheel against the curb. And I got like a $50 ticket for that.
But here's
wheels
what I'm
were saying.
Turned out. Yeah.
Hold on. 3 inches from the curb.
Listen, Matt Fondelier, the Porcelain Punisher, got the same ticket for not having the wheels turned in. By the way, these guys, again, I used to live in the Hollywood Hills. I'd see them cruising up the hill at 2 a.m. on a Saturday just to give all the fucking people the same chicken shit ticket. Here's the thing, everybody. Those rules were put in place when people drove Model Ts, Model A's, and cars that you shifted three on the tree, you know?
Yes.
And I don't know what percentage. I would say that over 90% of new cars that are sold are automatics. And over 90% of the road, the cars on the road these days in Southern California, in Los Angeles, are probably automatics. But there's a pretty easy way to figure it out. Look through the fucking window. If you don't see a stick shift, that car's in park. If that car's in park, that car's not going anywhere. So fuck them. See, back in the day, it could be, you know, out of gear or
three
pop
inches.
Out of gear.
So true.
It's so sad. Ugh. Yeah, they would tell you this
but
is a safety
why can't
issue.
The police react just as fast as the meter maids?
Oh, listen, anytime I try to explain this to people all the time, I don't know why they argue with me. It's incentive. Everything's incentive.
Yeah.
And anyone can do anything. Just incentive. My gardener used to leave the pool gate open all the time, and I scared my kids were going to drown, and he did it, and he did it, reminded him, he never did it. Eventually, I took $50 away from him. I said, you're going to kill my kids. I've told you 5 times. You just keep fucking forgetting. You do it again, I'll take another $50 away. He's never done it again.
Mm-hmm.
Super easy. Anyone, you'd be surprised what everyone could do. I say to people all the time when they go, look, I gave you 2 weeks to do this. You promised me you're going to do it. You never did it. And they go, oh, man, I've been slammed and I just haven't had time and blah, blah, blah. And I just said, what if I said there was $10,000 in it for you to complete this task? Could you have done it? And they went, most of them at least are honest and go, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They would have done it. Yeah. Right. So there's your answer to everyone. Ask the $10,000 question. If it was for $10,000, would you have got that term paper finished? Yes. Would you have gotten that mess cleaned up?
Yeah.
Would you have cleaned out your garage or your closet? Whatever it is that somebody's asking you to do or for, if somebody ended it with, here's $10,000, if you do it,
yeah,
I think you'd get it done, right? So we all can do whatever we want, but if we don't have incentive, we're not so good at it.
It was your pool cleaner Mexican?
Yes.
So that $50 is like $10,000 to him.
The pool guy.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, the gardener.
Oh, the gardener.
You know what I loved about this guy?
I'm sorry
though?
I didn't close the gate.
Yeah, he'd leave the gate open.
You listen, never told me.
No, listen.
What?
Listen.
I'm listening.
I told you, by the way, I've told you many times.
Ah, Mr. Corolla.
Yes, I told you.
Yeah, you tell me every time, and I do what I do.
No,
you know?
I show you the gate open. The kids play in the courtroom, a courtyard, and I could find them in the pool.
The niños were playing. They were playing over there in the parking lot.
No, it's not the parking lot.
It's
a courtyard. It's a courtyard.
Courtyard.
I can't see it. Lynn,
okay.
Look.
All right.
If
I couldn't hear them. I had my lip blower.
If the boy drowned, my heart would be broken. You understand?
Be heartbroken, too. But he needs to learn how to swim.
No.
I was swimming when I was two.
That was crossing a river to get to this country.
And
I'm
I
talking
made
about.
It. I made
okay,
it.
Okay, what I'm saying is this. Listen.
Okay.
Efron.
Let me turn my air blower off.
So yeah, okay. Just the idling's driving me nuts. The one thing I did love about the dude is his wife worked with him.
Oh, cool.
And it was some of the greatest moments I've shared with Lynette would be just looking out the kitchen window at his wife out there, like, you know, raking shit up and picking up dog shit in the backyard. And I just look at him and go, wow, look at that.
Oh,
look at his wife. Look at her.
You said you're eating your Cheerios.
So, no, but I just go, that's a tough life there, boy. That's a hard working woman.
What would Lynette say?
Nothing. I just like to live it. It was great. It just felt great to see this guy dragging his old lady to work, and she was fucking working like a mule,
oh, yeah.
Man. She was busting ass. Anyway, Efren.
Yes, Mr. Corolla.
Yeah, you can call me Adam.
I'm almost done.
Yeah, I know, but
the bushes are clean.
No.
My wife has picked up all the shit.
I know. When you leave, shut the gate. That's
Mija.
All good.
Marietta Caresa, Marietta Caresa. Shut the gate. Yeah, it's Corolla.
No?
Yeah. She said it was her fault.
Oh, no, you don't pin it on her.
Yeah, she do it all the time.
No, don't pin
she
it on your
wife. She never closed
any gate. No, you're now making it bad.
Yeah. Adam is here. He thought it was close again.
So listen, I have these kids, the twins.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want to find them in the pool.
I promise. You'll never see them in the pool.
Okay. I mean, on a hot day.
I understand.
Okay, sorry. The $50 next time you leave the gate open.
I already close it.
Okay, good. All right, should we go?
Gracias.
Donata. All right. Jamie?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, right now I'm actually out on a hike with my little niece. But, yeah, my question was...
I like that.
You guys talk a lot about
so
you know,
creepy.
Big Life here. Why is it creepy?
No, because you're not you, Adam. You said you're on you're on a hike with your niece, and for some reason that turned Adam on.
I think it's gonna turn into like some cool like guy coming out of the woods. To, I don't know. Anyway, I'm a huge fan of all of you.
Thank you.
But my question was about. You talk a lot about women with daddy issues and how, like, whenever you get these girls on the phone, you can kind of sniff it out really quickly and they end up being strippers or porn stars or an abusive relationship. And I've observed, I'm a parent and I have young kids, and there are a few moms in our community who just kind of, they give off that crazy vibe and have had, you know, incidents with other parents and things like that. And the common denominator with at least a few of them is they are all estranged from their mothers and not... Like, not, like, difficult relationship with their mothers, like, cut them off completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you have any comments about that and, like, kind of the kind of damage that's different or more damaging than
that's interesting.
It's a little more protean, wouldn't we say? It doesn't specifically affect choices in relationships the way it does so much with dads that are problematic. But it does lead to lots of internalizing problems, as we say. Internalizing issues, mood problems, cutting, all that kind of stuff. And then problems with women.
I think there's an ultimate hollowness, and you guys can tell me what you think about this. When male or female doesn't have a great relationship with dad, I almost believe biologically we were built to withstand that, not to thrive from it. But to withstand it, because dad would go off to war and get killed,
right.
And dad would go out and get drunk and get someone else pregnant and move to Florida. Dads did kind of, throughout history, did a lot of moving on and a lot of getting killed in battle and shit like that. Mama, you know, that's a whole new level
right.
there.
You have to be attached to that to survive.
Yeah, that's literally your survival. Yeah. And, you know, I always think about that when people talk about gay couples adopting men and women and stuff like that. I always just realize, my God, you know, Joe Coy or Dr. Drew and myself could do a good job with my kids. We'd have enough money and resources and what have you. But, man, are they into mama. Boy, do they fucking love their mama.
Yep. Yeah.
It is a huge deal, them and their mama. And if something happened to me, you know, that's why the guy has life insurance. It's like, be able to provide, be able to keep the roof over the head and the car paid and all that kind of stuff. And then mama. And the kids would be sad without daddy, but not wrecked like they would be. And the ones that have no relationship with mama, those people are almost empty vessels.
It can be very empty, sure. They're not filled. That's
exactly
right.
The dad is kind of a...
personal experience?
The dad is kind of tough break stuff, but, you know, he went off to Vietnam, never came back, they never found his body, and it's like, you miss dad, but you don't have that emptiness.
But you know we also do this, too? Dads do this still. Mm. Like, I provide my ex with everything.
Yeah.
And they go on the vacations, I'll pay for it. And give her some spending money so that the kid has a great vacation. And then when he comes back, he's got all these things that he bought. And he's like, yeah, mommy got this. And instead of me jumping in going, daddy bought that.
I do.
Mommy bought it, but it was daddy's money. But we're not going to do that. I'm not going to
do
it.
I never stop doing it.
But, you know, it's just I'm guilty for doing that, right? Mm. Like that's our.
I do that, too. I do the same thing. Yeah.
Wait, what do you do? Not take credit for
Yeah, you don't take credit for it, but you keep feeding
I feel like that's my response. That's just what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, you just do it.
No, I do the opposite, which is I do the daddy's going to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go, where are you going? Let's wrestle or whatever. And I don't go, I'll be gone for a couple hours. I go, daddy's going to work. Yeah. And then they go, well, stay, you know, hang out and wrestle. And I go, no, I can't. Daddy has to go to work so we can live in this house and drive that car. Like, I try to draw that connection every chance I get with almost every bite of food. I went, daddy bought that.
Yeah. What she said about you can tell that with these girls that become porn stars or strippers is because they have daddy issues or issues at home. But I don't think that exists anymore. I've been trying to say this to my friends now. 2013, there's a lot of sluts now. With some great families. I know a lot of slutty chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Got a great dad at home and a mom at home. And I don't know what. Why are you doing porn?
So it's shifting. Interesting.
It's just like I like this Gucci purse and I'm a suck-a-dick for it.
Yeah, my wife says pretty soon the whole PTA meeting is going to be talking about what porn did you do and who did you make the porn with.
Yeah.
Like it's becoming so commonplace that everyone's going to have done one.
Adam, I have so many slutty girlfriends. And they don't mind. And by the way, me saying this, they don't even care that I say this.
Oh, no.
They love it. It's the new thing now.
No, look.
Look at their Instagram. I'm slutty nurse for Halloween.
Look at Max and Pat like, uh-huh.
Here's the thing. And never been a better time to be the single dude. The thing is this. You know, how many women who now have tattoos really wanted that tattoo or just thought, fuck it, everyone's getting a tattoo?
Yeah.
Like, I do believe women are much more malleable than men when it comes to, I'm going to do what society's asking
social
me
trends.
To do.
Style trends,
Look, these shoes are the most uncomfortable shoes on the planet. Not my shoes, the fucking stiletto heels.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to wear them. You see women out where you go like, hey, we're going to go truffle hunting with pigs. And they're like, I'm wearing my heels. And you're like, that's going to be wildly uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, no socks. I mean, just think about your shoes.
Yeah.
Just think about the fact that, like, I'm leaving the house. I'm wearing a pair of fucking New Balance right now that I could run a marathon in because if you put me in topsiders, I would be uncomfortable. Like,
yes.
I want some arch support. Just the fact that they will do whatever, all the makeup they have to put on, like, all the shit. They will do whatever they have to do whenever they have to do it. And so if society says, oh, it's time to start being a slut, they'll be like, oh, okay.
I already bought the outfit.
Yeah, I got the outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to the dad versus mom thing. The dad thing seems to be something that they go out into the world trying to solve.
Right.
Like, we're going to make that right by finding another dad and making him into the guy I wanted my original dad to be.
Right.
Of course, that never works.
Right. All right. Let's see if we can power through a couple few here. You want to go to line 5, speaking of sluts?
Yeah.
Mario?
Adam, Drew, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Big. So I have this question about anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a higher likelihood for women of, like, prostate cancer or some sort of long-term medical condition that could arise from it?
Women don't have a prostate, last time I checked.
Hey, just answer the question. Can it get cancer from anal sex or not?
No,
Drew?
No cancer. But there is probably...
What about their dorsal fin? Can that get cancerous?
Their tail?
Are there other things they don't have that we can talk about?
Oh, my God.
What about their gills?
But, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. There is one added risk for anal sex, which is if you get HPV back there, you can get anal cancer. And
that's right.
Like one thing that pissed me off about Farrah Fawcett's story. She died of anal cancer. No conversation about HPV. We're doing this for the people. We're telling her story for the people, mind you. We're telling the bullshit treatments I had in Germany that fucking almost killed me. Ended up dying anyway because she wouldn't take the chemo because she wouldn't lose her hair for 6 months.
A lot of range.
That doctor ought to be that bothered me.
Oh, really? She didn't want to lose her?
Yeah.
It's funny with cancer. At the very end, it's like coin toss. We're going to Mexico, we're going to Germany. It's a weird thing. I feel like Canada would be a nice in-between, but it's either we're going to Mexico to get some crazy coffee enema thing going on over there and some spiritual whatever.
Yeah.
I always like the 100% effective outlaw in the United States. Yeah. Like, really? That's how cruel we are?
Yeah. We don't like treating cancer here. We want to keep people ill.
Yeah. You getting a butt funnel filled with postum is wildly effective when it comes to cancer, yet we've decided, no, let them die. Let them all die. I love that one. Yeah, or it's to Germany where they have something that we don't have. I'd probably go Germany before I went to Mexico, but...
Probably.
I think their tools would be a lot cleaner.
I'm just saying, if you got 4 months left on the planet, maybe go down to Cabo. You know what I mean?
Idea. Yeah. Maybe there's something to this.
Yeah, like
with the postum in your
head. That'll be me. Like, they'll go, he's in Mexico undergoing experimental. No, he's whoring.
Yeah.
He's out whoring.
Yeah.
He's fishing and whoring.
He's telling everything he screws, he has ass cancer.
He fishes during the day and then he whores at night. That's what he chose
hey,
to do his last 4 months.
Hey, mija, I got ass cancer.
Back to the
get over here, mija.
Back to the anal sex. There's concern. Women, as they hit 70s and 80s, get lots of anal pathology. They can get prolapse and fissures and things. And so my fear is that we're going to see more of that as women age. And we were talking about this on Loveline. Were you coasting? Years ago, we were talking about it. This nurse called in. Maybe it was just with I was there. And she goes, oh, no, we right now have a run on prosthetic anuses because people are getting their anuses blown out.
Really?
What? Yeah.
And prosthetic?
Anuses. I was like, whoa.
And controlled, is it a wireless remote? Or just a garage door clicker? How do you,
how is are it they voice control? Activated? Shit now.
Clap on.
I wouldn't mind doing that though. Like I've had that situation where it's like I need to leave the house for a while. I could take a dump, but I got to move.
Is it motion detected like those trash cans you buy at Bed Bath
and Beyond? Yeah, the lid goes up.
Yeah, the lid just goes up when you wave your hand over it. That'd be a great ad. I'd buy it right now.
Anyway, so I don't know if that's true or not, but there could be issues, but we're not seeing that much.
All right. Let me give a little love to stamps.com. Nicole?
Hi, guys.
Hey. I know you're...
Loving you, Joe Coy.
Thank you.
Everyone loves Joe Coy. Nicole? Are you currently using stamps.com?
No, but should every be. Time I hear it, I think, why am I not?
Why? Right. Why the post office?
You're not supporting the pirate ship.
Not only that.
I just had to go to the post office and wait 10 minutes, and it was like, I don't know why I'm
listen,
done.
Forget about us. Focus on you. This is for you. One click at stamps.com. You can track packages. You can send shipments, notifications. You get supplies delivered and more. That's right. Go to stamps.com. Also, we have a no risk trial. It is $110 bonus offer. You get the digital scale, Nicole. You weigh your little parcel out, and then boom, comes right out of your printer. The postage, like magic, $55 free postage. Only if you enter ADS. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in ADS at stamps.com. Promo code ADS. You got that, Nicole?
I got it, ADS.
All right, don't fuck around. What's going on?
Dr. Drew, my husband has chondrosarcoma of the right shoulder blade. Not. It's a tumor. We don't know if it's cancer yet. He's getting it removed at UCSF.
Well they're calling it a sarcoma. Sarcoma is another word for cancer.
Well, they haven't been able to do a biopsy on it yet.
They're worried that it's a sarcoma.
Yeah, it's grown from, it was 7 centimeters last September, and it's 11 centimeters this September.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? 10? So, that's pretty big, 11 centimeters, right?
It's huge. Yeah,
well, it's a little less than half an inch. Wait a minute. Times 11.
Four,
hold on.
That's 4 inches, I think.
That's 3 inches.
Yeah, 3 or 4 inches. Yeah.
That's about the size of an Asian's penis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Joe's rounding.
Too,
Joe's rounding up now.
Oh,
like
you mean
that.
11 centimeters on it?
Listen, Joe.
Yes.
Asian Joe. you know how you should start measuring penis?
How?
Center of the anus.
Yeah.
To just pass the tip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the Corolla method.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Nicole.
I thought it was once around the balls, too.
Oh, yeah. Center of the anus.
Oh, my God.
Once around the balls. I do it with yarn.
Yeah.
And then you lay that out on a yardstick. And that's how you get an accurate reading.
That's amazing.
No. You know what's easier is sewer's tape. Or sewer's, it's the...
Oh, yeah.
Thin, it's
the
like a measuring tape.
Cloth tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
That old Jew would keep wrapped around like a shawl.
Nice.
They shawl everything. The prayer shawl.
Yes.
The tailor shawl. You know what? They should have numbers on the prayer shawl. So then later on when they go down to the tailor's place, they could just pull off the prayer shawl and have it calibrated. I mean, instead of having the tape and the prayer shawl.
Oh, right. Of course.
See what I'm
saying? Yes. It's efficient.
It's a nice stereotype.
Nice.
Anyway, Nicole, the question is, what?
My question is, we're meeting with the head surgeon again on next week. What should I? Is there certain questions that I should have to, that I need to ask regarding this? I'm kind of going into this blindly. I'm in the medical field, but not in this type of medical. You know.
All right. What questions would you ask, Drew?
Is this is this cancer? You know, is this spreading?
Well, they have to biopsy it.
Well,
right?
And what are the what are the probabilities that it's cancer? And if it's cancer, you know, what are we doing with this surgery? How, you know, are we? Is this a curative surgery? Is it a palliative surgery? And what kind of? I mean, just the standard, you know, standard questions about risk and disability afterwards and recovery time, that kind of thing. The real question is, the thing that drives me insane about cancer surgeries is people, the surgeons go, we got it all. And does we got it all mean a goddamn thing? Nine times out of ten, it doesn't.
Well, it means they got what they were going after, but it doesn't mean it didn't spread, right?
Correct. And so you have to ask questions about prognosis and ancillary treatments and really what's going on here. What's the data?
All right. I'll tell you the data on us doing ourselves a live show, Malfi, Wednesday, October 30th. BevMo, me out. And doing a little signing over at the BevMo. Where am I? In Glendale. Coming up. Yeah. Friday.
Glendora.
Oh, Glendora. Sorry. It was wishful thinking. One place is a million miles away, and the other place I can hit with a rock. Glendora. Friday, November 1st. Come on out to the BevMo. See the Stone Pelican, Mike August. And also, his new claim to fame is, he looks like Katie Lang. But his new claim is that he looks better than Katie Lang currently does. That's his big.
Currently he does.
That's his big.
Not always, but currently.
That's his big argument. And come out and say hi. Also, me and Dr. Drew, we have our highlights from our live show. $4.99 available at AdamCarolla.com and iTunes and all that good stuff. You can subscribe via the PayPal button. Give a little. You know, we provide a service. Joe Coy, Brea Improv, tonight. That's the 24th, tonight through Saturday. 26th, Treasure Island, Las Vegas, November 1st. Website, JoeCoy, JoeCoy.com. And you can Twitter him, at Joe Coy. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Joe Coy and Dr. Drew, Chris Max Paddock, Gary Haftard saying, mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.